Hey Peggy, how long have you been in the Yukon?
I've been in the Yukon approximately 15 years on and off.
Were you born in the Yukon?
Yes, I was.
So you were born in the Yukon and went out?
I was born in the Yukon and my family, we traveled with our father who did construction work, and we lived outside for approximately 5 years, and then we came back. And I left the Yukon again for a year, and then I got married outside and lived outside for another about 9 years while I was single, and then after I was married.
Your schooling, did you have to leave home at all to go to school?
My mother and my father broke up when I was 13 years old, and either one of them could look after us because my father did do construction work, and he couldn't drag the kids along with him to do the construction work. And at the time, my mother just couldn't afford to keep us because there was she didn't believe in welfare or handouts, and she put us in the Ridgeview Home for Children, which is something like a residential school, only it was really religion orientated, and I really disliked it there. But I was in there for 3 years.
Did you go home to wait for summer, or did you just stay there all year?
We went out to our aunt's place at Tesman for the summer months, which we enjoyed very much.
Where is Ridgeview?
Ridgeview Home for Children is in Porter Creek. It's not a boarding home anymore. It was a home where children were placed who didn't have status to go to a residential school, or who didn't qualify to go to the Yukon Hall, or at the time the St. Agnes Hostel. We were classified more or less as orphans, but our parents did have to pay for us, or the welfare paid for the ones that couldn't afford it.
Okay, and you say that you really dislike this.
I disliked it very much because it was too religion orientated. We did an awful lot of praying, and none of us knew what for.
After you went to the school, is this when you went outside?
Yes, I was the oldest one in the mission, and this is one of my biggest hang-ups. I was in grade 9, and I had to wear the old secondhand clothes that were left over from the mission downtown, and by the time I got them, they were pretty rugged, and everybody knew them as being the standard uniform of the mission downtown. And it really caused a lot of hassle in high school because I was classified as the only high school orphan, and it caused a lot of hassle.
After you moved back to the Yukon, you were married then?
I moved back to the Yukon after I separated from my husband, and I got my 5 daughters back from Houston, B.C. And that was in 1971, and I've lived here since then with my 5 daughters.
What problems have you found bringing up your 5 daughters being a single parent?
I found many problems, especially in getting work, and finding a job that is suitable to my liking and that will support us. And so thus, I've been on and off the welfare roll ever since I've moved back, simply because I can't find a job with my education that will support us. And if it's not feasible for me to work, then I'd rather stay home with my children and take welfare until I can get more education and possibly take some course to support myself and my daughters. Another problem has been with daycare. The daycare services up here that are being provided are fine and dandy for people who are taking jobs just for a pastime or for something to do. But as far as I'm concerned, the daycare services up here aren't sufficient in that they don't base their rates on the income of the person that's working, because I could go to a daycare center and have my three daughters put in the daycare center for up to $250 a month and have that amount supplemented by welfare. But if I'm going to be going out working 8 hours a day, I'm not going to be running to the welfare's door and asking them to look after my kids. I'd rather just stay home and look after my kids myself and not have to go through the hassle of putting my kids in daycare where they're put into a different world, and you know, they don't really understand why I have to work and have to go to the welfare at the same time. It's just too much for both of us.
So your kids would rather be home, have you home and be at home, than go to them, have you working, than go to the daycare center?
Yes, they would. But the situation is now that this fall I'm putting four in school, and just the youngest one will be home for a half a day only. And so then I'm going back to work. But right now it's just not feasible that I work. Another problem for us has been transportation, because we can't afford to buy a car. And I'll bet you I spend a good $500 a year on taxis just to buy the groceries and do the things that we have to do to carry on a day-to-day living. And
What is the hardest thing about being a single parent
is the discrimination you get from a lot of people. Like, I'll go downtown some days and I'll be buying something in the store or something and handing people money. And people will say, "Oh, are those your kids?" And I'll say, "Yes." And right away they check my hand for rings to see if I'm married. And when they see that I don't wear rings, which I don't, because I don't believe in wearing my wedding band now that I've left my husband, they look at my hands and then they look at me as if to say, "Oh, you mean you've had five kids and you're not even married?" And when I go out with other people downtown, like a lot of times I'll go out and I'll meet, say, different cousins or friends or whatever, and if they see me chatting with them or talking to them or going to a movie with them, they'll as much as everybody believes that every guy I talk to or every guy I dance with or go out with is my boyfriend. And you know, there's just no in between, where a single parent can have a lot of male friends and have them as strictly friends. And you know, it's just hard to believe that people can be so discriminatory in this day and age.
Okay, do you think that there is a problem that your daughters have been noticing, that there are any problems with you being a parent?
My daughters have noticed it in a way that other children tell them, and other children can be so cruel, which stems from the parents themselves. And this is why I realized the problem with me being a single parent and having male companions or friends or whatever. At school, the children have been asked, like if one of my friends' children knows that I'm going out with a certain guy, their children will go to school and they'll ask my children, "Is that going to be your new dad?" Or you know, questions like this, which is to me very degrading, and it bothers my oldest daughter, because she's 10 years old now and she's very wise. And you know, she comes home and she says, "Mommy, how come everybody's always asking me if we're going to get a new dad?" Or you know, stuff like that, and it really bothers me.
I guess it would be because she was asking if you've had any problems. I mean, you've got that as a parent, and you do. Have you had any problems other than, you know, with being a single parent? Like, for example, do you have a feeling of isolation when you call that?
The only feeling of isolation that I feel in the Yukon is education, because I'm very interested in education. And last year I took grades 9 and 10 at the vocational school, completed them in February. And this fall I plan on taking grades 11 and 12 from September to February. And beyond there, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I don't want to be a clerk typist, I don't want to be a secretary, I don't want to be a hairdresser. You know, none of these fields are open to me. I want to further my education in a way that I will be able to support myself and my five children without having to go outside to be educated and then come back, because it would mean a move from myself and my children for at least 2 years outside, just getting settled down, and then me finishing my education and then bopping back to the Yukon and starting all over again to try and establish a place to stay, my kids back in a different school and different surroundings and everything. It's too alienating to both go and come back. This is the only thing I really feel strongly about isolation, is the education system up here. If they could expand probably the technical schools so that they do cover more courses that, you know, that are more involved and that will pay more money when the people are finished these courses. Like, I'm especially interested in becoming a teacher of one sort or another, or going into public relations. See, right now I'm really scattered because I'm limited to what is available to me here in the Yukon, and I just can't get organized enough to get something happening as far as a job goes, because I don't have the education. And education is one of my biggest hang-ups, and I'm really strong on it.
Especially having the five girls who go through all that too.
Yeah, this I hope will be partially corrected by the time my girls grow up, because my girls being raised in the Yukon, I don't think that they're going to want to go outside for 2 or 3 years and leave their home and their friends and everything, go outside and make all new friends, and, you know, just live out there away from everybody they know for 2 or 3 years and then come back and have all their friends grown up and, you know, the rest of them.
Well, what would you yourself feel about the girls going up to school?
As far as them leaving to go out to school after they are of legal age to leave home will be entirely up to them. But as far as it goes now, right from the time I've left my husband up until the time my girls are of legal age to leave home, I just don't see it feasible. I don't think that I would ever put my kids in a residential school or a hostel or anything like that, because I had the life. I had it for 3 years, and I will not put my children through it, because to this day it affects me. It affects a lot of my decisions, and I make a lot of my decisions based on my past and my experiences with the past. And I just can't see it. I just can't see how anybody could make up their minds to put their children in a residential home or school unless it is absolutely necessary. And I know of a lot of children that are right here in town, living in the Yukon Hall especially, with parents right here in town, and the parents just can't be bothered to look after them because it's just too much work. I'm on social assistance right now up until September, probably. But I would rather be this way and have my children at home and take, you know, the means of support from the social welfare than to send my kids away and maybe free. Because like this weekend too, my daughters are at camp and I'm just going crazy without them, and that's only 2 days, and I don't see how people can actually put their children in a residential school for 10 months when they live right here in town and visit them maybe once a week, or have them come home once a week or something like that. I just don't see how it can be done.
What are your plans for the future? What would you like to accomplish in that?
Do you do good? I think I know what you mean. Well, one of my biggest goals in life is and will be always to raise my children, educate them, and make sure that they are not left out of society in the way that they're lacking knowledge on what is available to them as growing adults later on, and after they've grown up, to be able to just, I want to teach them before they leave home to be able to cope with society and cope well without being emotionally upset or on any emotional strain all the time, or ending up walking the streets, or being lazy, or anything like that. I want them to be able to grow up in the Yukon and be able to cope with what life has to hand them. And beyond that, beyond raising my children, I have my own life to live. And I would like, I'm a real education fanatic. I'd like to go to school for the rest of my life if I could, if I could possibly get away with it, but I know I can. So I'd like to further my education enough to be able to raise my children the way I described.
What are the highlights you have? What's the best time of your life in Chile?
There have been many highlights in my life, particularly within the last 3 years. My 1 year working with Yancy was probably the biggest highlight in my life, because I, for the first time, saw different cities in Canada and saw different cities, I mean different, the way people live across Canada, and met many different people and got to know them. There have been many highlights, but just offhand I can't think of them. One, the main one has been the year with Yancy, and it's really made me open up my mind to what is going on in Canada and what is available to me as a person and to many other people.
What do you do in your spare time? Do you have hobbies?
Raising the 5 children, I don't have too much spare time. But I do like to do an awful lot of sewing. I'm a really sewing thing. I like to go hunting a lot, fishing a lot, sew a lot, walk.
You mean sewing clothes?
Yes, I sew. No, I don't sew. I don't do beadwork simply because I don't have the knowledge. I do hope to learn very soon, and learn how to tan hides and do it right from brass tacks, right to finished product, without you know, no trouble. But right now, within the last 2 years, 2 or 3 years since I've left my husband, I've really found a need to be able to sew, especially for my children, because I just don't have the finances to buy all their clothes all the time. And I find that being able to sew for them, I can dress them the way I want to and make the clothes that they like to wear and dress them all the same which they like. And it cuts down on the budget, it gives me a pastime, and plus the children get to wear what they want to wear instead of wearing secondhand clothes and all the rest of it. So probably sewing is my most enjoyable pastime.
How do you feel about when you go out into a show, for example, people are going to look at you and they're going to look at your kids and they're going to say, hey, you're Indian. But then you're going to go to Indian Affairs and they're going to look at you and they're going to look your name up in the files and they're going to say, you're not Indian, you're non-status. So which means that you are not entitled to any of the Indian rights. How do you feel about this?
I think that is very wrong, because to look at me and my children, anybody with two eyes knows that we are native, basically. And like, to be classified as native on site and then to go to Indian Affairs, which I have never done, and have Indian Affairs tell me, hey, you look like an Indian, but you're not quite Indian enough to qualify for what is available to Indians with numbers and all the rest of it. It really irks me because it's, for one thing, it is not my fault that I was born a non-status Indian, and it is not my parents' fault. This stems back to both sets of grandparents about 125 years ago. And I think that it's just terrible that the government says, well, look at your grandmother and grandfather on both sides were living together, so thus you can't be an Indian now, because these two people over 100 years ago, these two sets of grandparents loved each other and had children and lived together for many, many happy years. And now government today says, well, you know, that's just tough. You don't qualify. It just makes me sick. Another thing about the children, it really bothers me. Like, when I go downtown, especially in the summer, a lot of the American tourists, like, I dress my children all alike, and they are 5 girls, and they all do look similar, and it does stop a lot of the American tourists. And soon as the tourists look at them, they look at their clothes, how clean they are, and all the rest of it. And they see that they are all right. You know, that you can just see the judgment going on in their mind. Oh, you know, are they ever cute? You know, they're really nice, even if they are Indian. Maybe we should give them a quarter. You know, my children are forever getting handouts from the tourists in the summer. And it really bothers me, because they figure we are Indian, so they need to give us something, a handout. Put them to me that way.
Okay. What would you like to teach the white man about life here in Yukon?
The main thing I would like to teach a white man about life in the Yukon is that life in the Yukon existed long before they came, and it was quite a good system, a very workable system. And I would like to teach a white man that it is very wrong to come up here telling, especially the native people, that you're not smart enough to do this, or you're not smart enough to do that, so we need another white man from down south to come up here and guide you and tell you what to do and everything, because you're too dumb. And this is as much as what the government has done right up to date, and even with our Indian land claims now, are still trying to do, and they will continue to do it until the Indians themselves put a stop to it. Like I said, the Indians manage quite well without the white man up here living off the land, and they had a workable system, and I don't think that the white man should come up here and tell us what to do, because we were here long before they came. I'd like to teach them, especially, to give guidance to us and to help us, but not to try and take over completely, as if we're supposed to all back off and shy in a corner and let them do what they want to do. I mean, I believe that there is a place in the Yukon society for the white people, because they are here, they can't be rejected, they can't be turned away, because, you know, they just won't take it. But I don't think that it's right for them to tell the Indians what to do either. I'd mainly like to teach the white men to let the Indians be themselves without giving them orders and telling them what to do.
What do you think about sort of going back to living a long time ago, like going back to nature?
I take that question in two different ways, like going back to a long time ago. I would have liked to have been here then at the time. Yeah, I think it must have been just beautiful having so much country and without all the industry and all the rest of it that is up here now. Yeah. But as for now, as far as me raising my 5 children, to me it's practically a must that they go back to nature, because they are nature orientated right from the time they were born, and I want them to continue on this way without getting too much into the urban places and the rest of it. I want them to know, to have the knowledge of tanning a moose hide in, out in the country, hunting out in the country, fishing, building a home.
Do you think there's a lot of waste that is, a lot of things that are just wasted around the Yukon?
I'd like to use one thing as an example that is really wasted, and I think it's just terrible, and that is the game. And I can give an instance for that. Last summer I was out in Teslin, and the people of the village in Teslin, just after the moose season opened, went hunting for up to 2 weeks. And they went up the river, and all they found was dead carcasses, moose carcasses all over the place. They found 9 of them within the first 2 weeks. Some were so rotten that you could, you know, that nothing could be taken off it. And others had one section of the rump taken out for steaks, and the rest just left there to rot. Some had antlers taken, and that was all. Some were had the throat slit, and that was all. And things like that, I think, are really being wasted because of the game laws. And it really bothers me because these people that went up the river in Teslin were hunting for their meat for the winter, and they were looking for moose to dry it for the winter for their families. And to think that the American people can come up here, and a lot of the residential people too, like I know that one of the parties that killed one of the biggest bull mooses, biggest bulls up the river that year was a doctor right from town, you know. And it really bothers me that the game laws let them get away with things like that and not do anything about it. Like, they found out that it was this doctor, and all he did was put his gun away at a neighbor's place for up to 3 months, and they went to his place and they couldn't find the gun that matched the bullet that was in the moose, so he got away with it. And then the game laws, by the same token, state to me that I cannot shoot a moose to feed my family if I so desire during the winter. But the doctors in town and the residential people and the American tourists can come up here and drop moose and get away with it and leave them rot and not have them serve any purpose, just extinguish them. Another thing that I believe that is being wasted is the human resource of knowledge that the Indian people have to contribute to the rest of society. Another resource that is being wasted is the manpower of the residents of the Yukon. The government is forever bringing in people from outside to do the work of the Yukoners themselves, and sticking the Yukoners on unemployment and welfare and giving them handouts from Indian Affairs, when these people have the resources and the knowledge to do the same job as the people from outside.